I'm Steve Potter, and this is Cityscape. Later, we're going to get the take on the St. Louis art scene from a relative newcomer here. Reporter Willis Ryder Arnold covers arts and culture on St. Louis Public Radio, and he's going to join us to talk about his take on the art scene and what he's discovered during his time here. Back in August, Joe Hanrahan starred in Eric Bogosian's one-man play, Sex, Drugs, Rock and Roll. Directed by Rachel Tibbetts, the show is back for a three-performance run beginning tonight at Herbie's Vintage 72 in the Central West End. Joe Hanrahan, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Good to see you again.
You too, sir.
And it's a small world.
Yes.
Because when my guests were just leaving, you and Beverly have crossed paths before in the arts world, right?
Beverly and I were in a show at the old theater project company many years ago. Mm-hmm. I remember her dad saw the show. We were all thrilled. And Bobby Norfolk, I directed him in a Black Rep show, the Brownsville Raid, many years ago.
Yeah, that's interesting. Eric Bogosian.
Bogosian,
excuse me, is the playwright. And this play, Sex, Drugs, Rock and Roll, I guess it's a couple of decades old and he wrote it, and I actually starred in it originally at one time.
You did?
No, he did.
Oh,
right?
He did. Yes. Of course. Yeah. Yeah. He wrote about four different shows like this: Pounding Nails in the Floor with My Forehead, Wake Up and Smell the Coffee, this one, and Drinking in America.
And haven't you done some of the others?
I've done all of them except Pounding Nails, and I even did one. He was doing one called The Worst of Bogosian at one time, and we got in touch and said, that sounds great. It was a kind of a greatest hits, and he gave us permission.
Well, you've done so much of his work. What about him speaks to you?
He speaks to my generation, to how I grew up. He grew up at the same time. He speaks, and especially in this show, to the rock and roll life, the pleasures that it offers and the pitfalls. And to him, it represents America, both the things that we think of ourselves and the things we do.
When you say speaks to your generation, are you talking about people that came of age, I don't know, in the 60s, something like that?
No, later. I think 70s, 80s. And these people, you know, like me, I mean, we're still here, and people are doing the same things. And this show covers characters, everyone from the homeless to somebody verging on the 1%, from a drug dealer to a self-help guru, and they're all, you know, and they're all different shades of crazy.
Well, yeah, let's talk about this. It's a one-man show, and you portray all the characters.
Yes.
And it really takes a look at America's, and overall, sort of America's class structure and our pursuit of the American dream and who's able to achieve it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the different ways that people go about it. And all these men, we describe them as driven and desperate. And what's interesting is that these characters are kind of jammed one up against each other. And I think for an audience, it's like, who's crazier? Who's right? Who's wrong? I mean, who do we admire? Who do we have less sympathy for?
Mm-hmm. Do you have more sympathy for some?
I think naturally. I mean, there's a homeless guy, but honestly, I mean, I have sympathy. I think I have sympathy for the outlaws in the play, the people that society or other people think, you know, are bad guys. Whereas some of the good guys, the 1%, the guy who consumes everything that he can buy, or the self-help guru who thinks he can cure you with some little trick that's making him money. I mean, those are people that we celebrate, but I think it's questionable who are good guys in our society.
So there would be flaws in every character that you're portraying?
Absolutely, yeah. There's a dark side to every character, and that's what Bogosian says. I mean, there's dark sides in him, and he wants to explore that, and he wants to understand it.
Mm-hmm. So how many characters altogether?
There's 10. He has an actor kind of guy in every one of his shows, kind of a MC who just welcomes the audience and kind of gives perspective. So that's not a character as much. It is a character, but it's more of an actor. The other characters are, there's about 8 or 9 of them that are all distinct, different human beings, all American except for one, a British guy.
Yeah. So, and it kind of goes from, like you say, a homeless guy to someone very successful, a rock musician.
Yes. There's a aging British rock star whose band has been, not working for about 10, 15 years, and they decide to come back probably to make some money, and they also do a benefit sponsored by beer and cigarette companies.
So is it funny?
It's hilarious. I mean, and that's one of the reasons I love to do it. I make myself laugh, you know, just doing it. And I think one of the reasons I've done him so often and I'm doing this again is to get it out of my system. I mean, get the message out of my system, but also to entertain. I think it is, I think it's just hilarious.
So the characters you're portraying, is that in present time?
Yes, yes, they're all, you know, they're all today. And we've updated the show with some topical references, and we've made sure that we're not, you know, back in the 90s before the internet or anything like that. We make sure and all these things are up to date in a topical sense.
What are some of the ways you've done that?
Well, he makes a reference to a political figure at one point, and so we've done that. He makes a reference to a current theater piece or recent theater piece. We do that, and we've also we've brought the internet into it just as a reference, and also a couple of other cultural references.
Sex, drugs, rock and roll. How does it start? Who's the character that kicks this thing off?
He's a homeless guy. He, you know, he meanders through the audience collecting bottles and cans. He's called Bottle Man. And, and he, like some folks that you see on the street, he comes right up to your face and just talks to you.
I find those people so interesting. I always notice them. You know, you see them out sometimes standing at certain intersections. And I always do a little psychology in my head. Of course, I don't know anything about them. But I always wonder about them, how they got there.
I think there's this bouncing back and forth. I think there's, it's not explicit, but some of these characters you think are the same one, or there's references to them. There's a character at the end of the show who says, you can wind up homeless. You know, you wind up out on, you ever talk to any of those guys on the street? Everybody thinks they're crazy. They're not crazy. They see things the way they are. They tell the truth.
They'd be easy to stereotype for sure.
Yeah.
Tell me about the one you portray, though.
He's a guy who's obviously formerly successful. He references some things he did in his past life, and we don't know what brought him down. It was drugs or other things, but he collects bottles and cans now. But he's got some definite opinions that really I think strike at the heart of things. He talks about how trying to sleep on the streets and how everything's so hard now, concrete and stone and cement. He says, "Whatever happened to wood? Used to be benches, but wood, we don't got that because that comes from trees and we don't got them no more."
So we go from a homeless guy. Who's the next?
The next guy is the actor who comes out and welcomes the audience and says, we're going to have something special tonight. I'm going to inspire you. We're going to communicate. But halfway through the thing, as he sees the audience is not kind of like, bouncing in their seats, he gets bitter and he goes, "Why? What am I doing up here? You're not going to, you're going to go home tonight. You're going to have a snack. And tomorrow morning, this snack like this show is going to be nothing more than a vague memory. Why am I wasting my breath up here?" He almost walks off the stage. And he says, "If I was any kind of artist, if I had any character, I'd just go up and I'd start, knocking back shots right now."
The rock and roll star.
Yeah, he's one of my favorites just because he's so funny. It's so funny. He's so deluded. He's...
Big success?
He was a big success. But they haven't done anything. The band's been doing nothing for 10, 15 years. But he's brought back and they've got a comeback album and they're doing a benefit. And he's on a TV talk show. And, of course, what the host wants to talk about are the wild days of excess, the crazy drug days. And so he goes into this long thing about that saying, describing how much fun it was. He says, "Drugs, you're having such a good time while you're doing them, you don't realize what a bad time you are having, And then, one of the funniest pieces in the show is his piece about how he got straight.
Name a couple more characters.
A couple more characters. There's a guy who's in therapy, who's trying to come to grips with his violent nature. There's the consumer who brings a guy out to his pool and shows him his pool and talks about everything he buys. There's a kind of a low-level drug dealer, a pot dealer, who's a fun guy, I think. He enjoys life and, he has some perspectives on different things. And then there's a self-help guru who's going to teach you how to get in touch with your inner baby.
Talking with Joe Hanrahan. Joe, you are known for doing a lot of one-man shows.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, when I think of you, that's the first thing I think of.
Sure.
That is so challenging, though, as an actor.
It's challenging in terms of just work and preparation and endurance, in a sense. But, I the first one-man show I ever did, as an actor, I never thought of doing a one-man show. It never came to me. And when I started doing them, there were no one-man shows. There was just Henry Fonda and Whitmore and those guys. There were stars doing stars. Uh-huh. But Bogosian had started in New York, and there was a guy in St. Louis who saw me, and he wanted to do some radical theater. So he recruited me to do the first Bogosian and first one-man show I ever did, which was Drinking in America. And so since I've done those, I've kind of learned how to do them, and I keep finding good scripts, and they are so convenient to do. They're not easy, but they're convenient.
It's so challenging, though, when you're not playing off other actors, even just as far as memorizing your lines. When you have every line, Isn't that just too much sometimes?
The only time I've ever found it too much, really. I mean, I've done 90-minute, no-intermission shows. The only time I ever found it tough was an endurance thing. I did Give 'Em Hell, Harry a couple times, which is 2 hours. And even with an intermission, at the end, at 2 hours, I found myself kind of wavering out there.
Wow. So as far as this show, Sex, Drugs, Rock and Roll, could you share maybe a little piece that one of the characters does?
Let me do just a little bit about the British rock star and how he cleaned up from drugs. He said, you know, I got straight while we were on tour. Typical tour situation. We're in a luxury hotel suite. Don't know where I was, how I got there. Beautiful naked girls in the bed with me. No idea who they were. Empty champagne bottles all over the room. Cocaine on every horizontal surface. I could barely lift my head from the pillow, but I grabbed a remote and flipped on the telly, and I was saved. You have a man on television in this country. He's a genius. What's his name? Dr. Phil. He said something that saved me. He said, if you're not living up to your full potential, you're not really alive. And I thought to myself, you know, what am I doing with my life? You know, I'm wasting it. I'm doing drugs day and night. I can see if you're some black dude or some Puerto Rican in the ghetto, but in my case, what a waste. Because you can have your caviar, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, your private jets, your stretch limousines, wads of cash, people treating you like God, women willing to do whatever they want you to do, wherever you want them to do it, house in London, house in L.A., apartment in New York City, home in the Bahamas. If it doesn't mean anything, what's the point? You know what I'm saying? Probably not. But in my case, I got straight. I went cold turkey, had all my blood changed, and I feel like a new man today. And actually, I can say I'm a pretty awesome human being. I've come to terms with my own brilliance. It's not such a burden anymore.
Midnight Company presents Sex, Drugs, Rock and Roll, starring Joe Hanrahan, who we just heard from. That's the Midnight Company, and Joe is co-founder and artistic director, by the way. It will be January 2nd and 3rd. That's tonight and tomorrow night at 8 p.m., Sunday at 7 p.m., at Herbie's Vintage 72, which is on Euclid in the Central West End. And if you'd like more information on tickets and that sort of thing, go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page, and we'll have that. Joe, most recently, number one, how many shows do you do a year?
It depends. This year, I did 2 one-man shows. I did Solemn Mockeries about this time last year, did Sex, Drugs in August, and I was in the Black Reps
Raising in the Sun,
yeah.
Right. You know, years and years ago, I played the part that you
I heard
played.
That. Yeah.
And it's such an interesting character, isn't it? I always sort of, I'd love to hear your insight on it. I always sort of looked at that character, Carl Lindner, as sort of a, it sounds funny to say it, a well-meaning bigot is how I always thought of him.
Exactly. He's a blind bigot. He doesn't understand his own bigotry. You know, it was a great character to play because, I mean, you're not in until the end of the show, but it's an essential dramatic part in the show.
He's trying to help these people.
Yeah.
That's how he looks at it.
You know, I always felt as an actor what I was doing. I felt like kind of like a point guard on like a dream team, basketball team. I'd come in and especially the last scene, you're setting up Walter. You know, you give these lines where Walter can make his decision, and then you turn and you set up Mama. You know, you give her the line and she goes, boom.
Right.
So it was really a great supporting role.
And I always was wondering what the audience thought of me or my character. It's like, does everybody hate me? Does that ever cross your mind? In March, you're going to be working with the Shakespeare Company.
Perhaps not. I think that's something that's good. That's kind of fell apart for me at this point. But in August, right now, I'm slated to be in One Flea Spare for a slightly askew theater ensemble.
What's that about?
It's a show about the plague in London, and it's by a great political charged playwright named Naomi Wallace. It's going to be a real piece of work, and I'm really looking forward to it.
All right. So in Sex, Drugs, Rock and Roll, you play something like a dozen characters chasing the American dream, some of them more successfully than others. Do we laugh? Do we cry? Are there characters that we despise?
I think there's something in the show to offend everyone, honestly.
That's
and so I think that there are some characters that everyone will despise. Some people will despise some. I also think it's a show. I mean, there's a lot of laughter, I hope. You know, I think there's some, hopefully there's some sober moments, but there's also some moments when I said it was offends everybody, there's moments when people get uncomfortable. I mean, I'm so close to the audience, I can tell. I'm talking about something, whether it's religion or sex or drugs, and I can see people stiffening up. It's like, they either are offended or they just don't want to admit that they know what I'm talking about and that it is funny.
Are they offended and they leave mad?
No, I don't think so. I think everyone, I think most folks have appreciated the show. If people have left mad, I haven't Haven't heard it.
Well, you talk about being close to the audience. That's maybe an important part to bring out, because Herbie's Vintage 72, the performance space is a small space in the basement, very intimate, which I would think would be very conducive to what you're doing.
It is. It's perfect. They call it the wine room, and there's room for about 50 in there, and I'm very close to the audience. And, you know, in some cases, there's a fourth wall, just in a few cases, and they're watching a character interact with someone else up there. But in many cases, I'm talking directly to them. I'm either an actor directly to them, or I'm selling them something.
Well, you say there are moments when you notice the audience is uncomfortable and you can feel them and see them tense up. How much does that affect what you're doing on stage, or does it?
It does. It inspires me. It says, you know, I know I'm, you know, any actor, no matter what size of the house or what kind of show they're doing, they can often tell when the audience is with them and listening. And this is heightened. And because I believe in this show so much, I believe in what it's saying, and I believe in the questions it poses, I really want it to be out there. And so the director, Rachel Tibbetts, and I mean, we've worked and consciously to do things to, like, kind of put it into the audience's faces, right up on against their nose.
You say it poses questions. Does it answer any?
I hope so. I hope it answers some in terms of the examination that people might bring with them about the show, some of the realization that might happen and some of these things that, you know, there's a lot of questions out there. I don't know if it has any big answers. The actor actually says right up front, I don't have any answers. I don't have any messages. I can't make you think unless you were thinking when you walked in here, which is a 50-50 proposition.
Sex, Drugs, Rock and Roll, opening tonight at Herbie's in the Central West End. Joe Hanrahan is our guest today, and I always enjoy your work. Break a leg, Joe, and thanks so much for sharing with us today.
Thank you, sir. Happy to be here.
Coming up next, we're going to talk to St. Louis Public Radio's arts and culture reporter about his take on the art scene in St. Louis. This is St. Louis Public Radio.